move to the second case this morning, Weirs versus Wells.
May it please the court. My name is Robert Keck, and I am attorney for the appellant Kevin Wells, who is a stockbroker who operates in New York. The plaintiff in this case is William Weirs, who is an investor. The facts of the case are simple. Mr. Weirs claims that my client placed an order to purchase 4,000 shares of stock without authorization. My client's position has been all the way that he was authorized, that there is a conflict in the understanding between the parties as to the purchase of the stock. In the end, after Mr. Weirs learned that the stock had been purchased, he then continued to hold the stock for a year, and during the course of that year, the stock declined in value. And in this case, in the final result, Judge Lefko granted summary judgment for the plaintiff and awarded those stock losses as damages against my client, Mr. Wells. And we say that that result is clearly unjust because Mr. Weirs could have sold that stock and there would have been no losses. But it was his decision to hold it that caused the stock to decline in value. And therefore, the judgment is unjust because my client has ended up paying for trading losses that he had no control over and that were the result of the decision voluntarily made by the plaintiff to hold the stock. How did we get here? We got here on the basis of not an evidentiary hearing relating to whether it was authorized or not, but on the basis of some motions that were filed and technical rulings on those by Judge Lefko, which we consider that she abused her discretion. The first and most important motion in the case was a default judgment was entered against Mr. Wells for $236,000. He then filed a motion to vacate, which is governed by Federal Rule 60B1, which governs vacating of default judgments. And that rule requires three things. It requires, first of all, you demonstrate that there was a mistake or there was an inadvertence, an excusable neglect. Secondly, you demonstrate that you acted quickly to correct the situation. And third, you must put forth a meritorious defense. In reviewing and passing on Mr. Wells' motion to vacate the default judgment, Judge Lefko found that there was excusable reason why the judgment was entered. She also found that he acted reasonably and promptly in presenting his motion to vacate, but she found that he did not raise a meritorious defense. And it is in regard to this matter that we feel that she abused her discretion, and I'll explain why. In his motion, and Mr. Wells was representing himself, he had no attorney. In his motion, he stated that I emphatically, first, the gist of plaintiff's Weirs' complaint is that I made unauthorized transactions in his account. I emphatically deny these claims and affirmatively state that all transactions are authorized. He also, in the motion, asked Judge Lefko for leave to file an answer setting forth his defenses. She ruled on his motion without ever having granted him leave to file an answer or saying he could or couldn't file an answer. And she held that, interestingly, Wells seems implicitly to admit the allegations. We find it hard to see how you can go from a statement that I emphatically deny these claims and affirmatively state that all transactions were authorized to a conclusion that he somehow admitted the allegations. But the bigger problem is that she seems to have suggested that he didn't raise the meritorious defense because he did not specifically deny the allegations in the complaint. She says, he does not specifically deny any of the allegations of the complaint. Now, bear in mind that he had asked for leave to file an answer, which would have responded paragraph by paragraph to the complaint, and she never ruled on that. Instead, denied his motion on the basis that he hadn't answered the individual allegations of the complaint. Now, there are several things here. One of the questions is, can you raise a meritorious defense by motion itself, or do you have to actually file an answer in order to vacate a default judgment? The case law on that, first of all, we've cited one case which
your rebuttal time, I just thought I'd tell you.
I beg your pardon?
You're into your rebuttal time. I'm just calling to your attention. Do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your drawing that to my conclusion, but I'll wrap it up fairly quickly here. In any event, the case law is that if a document demonstrates a hint of a defense that would, if proven, be satisfactory to defeat the claim, then the party has raised a meritorious defense. And we've also cited a case in which the court held that a motion is adequate to raise a meritorious defense. And we find no case law that says you must file an answer in order to defeat it. I will continue on the balance of my points on rebuttal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Keck. Mr. Bruning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Mr. Keck?
Yes, sir.
Would you sit at council table, please? Council table. Just have a seat at council table.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Kevin Bruning, and I represent William Wares in this case. Judge Lefkoe entered default judgment in this case against Kevin Wells over 2.5 years after the case was originally filed. No answer had been filed by Kevin Wells within that time period. He filed a motion to vacate some 2.5 months later, which was denied because it did not set forth a meritorious defense. Thereafter, the case proceeded for another almost a year. Mr. Wells did not hire an attorney within that time period, did nothing further in attempt to address the issue of his default, and it wasn't until November 30th of 1999, 2.5 years after the case was filed, that he filed his second motion to vacate, which was also denied by Judge Lefkoe. The first motion to vacate was denied under a wise use of Judge Lefkoe's discretion. If you read her order, you will see that she gave Mr. Wells every benefit of the doubt with respect to the three elements necessary to permit a motion to vacate under Rule 60. The one she could not ignore, however, was the one where he must state a meritorious defense. And the case law is quite clear on this issue. Mere conclusions in the motion that there is a defense are insufficient to support a motion to vacate. Counsel for Mr. Wells would like to argue that a blanket denial and a statement that the transactions were authorized were sufficient. But even if that were the case, that's not a meritorious defense in this case, because the allegations of the complaint specifically stated that even after Mr. Wares learned of the sale of the stock, he attempted to communicate with Wells and his brokerage firm, and his calls were ignored for almost a month. Once they were finally returned, he was persuaded by the people there, the stock will go up. We will take care of you. No matter what happens, we will make you whole for these losses. Those are the allegations that were admitted and never denied. And therefore, this defense that the transactions were authorized, which is untrue, isn't a sufficient meritorious defense. So Judge Lefkoe was well within her discretion to deny that motion to vacate. There was a statement in the motion to vacate, permit me to file an answer, but no answer was attached. No specifics were put into the complaint, into the motion. The case was filed in June of 2007. Judge Lefkoe's ruling was made in January of 2010, and still she would have had to guess as to whatever it was that Mr. Wells believed his meritorious defense to be. So the fact that she didn't give leave to file the answer at the time is also a wise use of her discretion. She did protect Mr. Wells. She did say, I'm not going to grant default on damages. Mr. Wears is going to have to come in and prove up on his damages. Settlement negotiations with the other defendants continued thereafter. We went to the magistrate judge for this purpose. Mr. Wells participated. Still no attorney, still no motion with respect to the default was entered. Settlement was reached with the other defendants. None was reached with Mr. Wells. And it wasn't until 13 months after the original default judgment that he finally hires an attorney who files a second motion to vacate. In that second motion to vacate, it's alleged that there's a meritorious defense. But in this case, Mr. Wells provides no explanation for his delay of an additional 13 months. And so Judge Lefkoe wisely exercises her discretion and says, you haven't met the first two prongs of the test to vacate a motion, to vacate a default judgment. You weren't diligent and you didn't act quickly. And then Judge Lefkoe addresses the third. And she says, again, you've told me you have a meritorious defense, but you haven't attached your proposed answer to the motion, and I'm left to guess as to what that is. And so she properly and wisely, with her discretion, denied the motion. The case had been pending for almost 3 years at that point. One of the issues that's raised in the appellee's brief is whether or not, or the appellant's brief is whether or not Judge Lefkoe ruled correctly on her on the issues of mitigation of damages and ratification. What the appellant, Mr. Wells, attempted to argue in his motion for summary judgment is that Mr. Wells didn't mitigate his damages. Mr. Wears ratified the stock transactions. Those issues go to liability, and Judge Lefkoe correctly ruled that those issues were foreclosed because the default judgment was entered on liability. This isn't a case where the damages were unliquidated. These damages were liquidated. They were easy to calculate. Judge Lefkoe did the math. She subtracted any amounts that Mr. Wears received in settlement, any refunds that were made by Mr. Wells' stock brokerage firm, and any other matters that needed to be deducted from the whole amount of the loss, and then calculated the balance and attributed to Mr. Wells. There was no brief on summary judgment or affidavit contradicting that, and the appeal does not contradict her math. So this is not a situation where damages were difficult to determine. She was able to determine them from the undisputed facts and the undisputed records that had been put into the file. The default judgment in this case is precisely the type of procedure that should be followed in this situation. This record shows that shortly after this case was filed, Mr. Wells and the other defendants filed a motion to send this matter to arbitration. That motion was denied because before the case was even filed, and this is shown in the record, Mr. Wells requested arbitration before FINRA. And Mr. Wells and his cohorts said, no, we're not going to do it. And that's why that motion was denied. Then they filed an appeal to this court and then failed to prosecute it for over a year, keeping the district court case stayed with nothing going on, Mr. Wears waiting for his day in court while they failed to pursue a frivolous appeal. When this court finally dismissed that appeal for want of prosecution, they did nothing. They didn't show up in court. Mr. Wells didn't keep his attorney. He didn't file a pro se appearance. and the default judgment was entered. Notwithstanding that delay, Judge Lefkoe said, I'll give you a break on that, but you haven't shown me a meritorious defense. Judge Lefkoe exercised her discretion wisely in this case on the summary judgment issue. She calculated the damages exactly as they're to be calculated. Mitigation of damages and ratification of the stock transactions go to the liability issue, which was determined on the motion for default on liability. We would respectfully request this court to affirm Judge Lefkoe's wise decision in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bruning. Mr. Keck, how much time?
Your Honor, all this business about there was an appeal, it took time, that does not have anything to do with this case right now. What has to do with this case is the damages. The damages in this case are trading losses that were incurred by Mr. Weers on his own volition when he decided to hold the stock rather than sell it. My client had no control over that. He would have not been authorized to sell it, and he couldn't sell it. And this was the bond, and this is the damages that are formulate the judgment here, and they're flat out wrong. There's lack of justice in this case. And what needs to happen is go back and look at these motions. Now, when we raise on the motion for summary judgment, when we raise this argument about, these damages were not caused by his unauthorized purchase of the stock, they were caused by the holding of the stock voluntarily, she dismissed that. I'm not even going to consider that argument because it's supposed to be raised in an affirmative defense in an answer. Now, Mr. Wells had asked her twice for leave to file an answer. When I came into the case later, I filed a motion for leave to file an answer along with a renewed motion to vacate the default judgment, and she denied leave to file that answer. So we repeatedly asked for leave to file an answer. She denied every one of those requests, and then she says, I won't consider your argument about the damages because you didn't raise it in an answer. It's unjust and should be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Keck. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.